I feel very safe knowing that this is a month of Mary, the month of the Virgin Most Powerful, the Queen Mother, the Gebi Ra. Just to know, Terry, you know, the Bible says that the Blessed Virgin Mary, that she's dressed in battle array in the Song of Solomon. That woman dressed in battle array, according to three popes, they say that is the Blessed Virgin Mary. It is good to know that we have a 12-star general that is leading the charge against the culture of death. The month of May is a time, as Catholics, step it up. Rosary every single day. Angelus every single day. Terry,
Jesse, I'm on duty. What I'm on you? Duty, Jess. I'm excited. We've got some horrible news, but we got good news, too. One of the best. Jesse, I'm sorry. I couldn't watch it. Okay, here it's. We're going to talk about human composting. In other words, they're taking bodies and they're going to. Well, you'll see. It's horrible. They're denying the soul, basically. That's our culture right now. Also, another horrible one is that how they're buying butchered babies through abortion. I mean, that is just another bit of horrible news. Good news, though. Got some more, but Pentecostal Benny Hinn says Catholics have more miracles, and he credits the Eucharist. I want to play that clip on the fourth segment. But here's some good news, Jess, and you've been to Lubbock, Texas. I've been there probably 8 or 9 times, a great Catholic city.
Yeah.
It's become the largest city in the United States to pass an abortion ban. No abortions in their city. You know, Jess, Texas is looking pretty to me every time I hear things like that. All right, another good news. Florida governor signs bill banning schools from requiring COVID vaccines. YouTube, you're too late. We're not on your network. You take us down for saying that. I'll say it again. Florida governor signs bill banning schools from requiring COVID vaccines. And I might add, Jesse, people have been very generous helping us get some new equipment, new material for us to have different means of communicating now that YouTube took us off. Here's another good news story where a bishop stood up, put his big boy pants up and said, hey, Notre Dame, you can't do it. You can't be forcing the students, mandating them to have COVID vaccinations. Bishop Pokorky from Illinois, he says, no, I'm reversing that. That's an immoral policy. Did you hear what he said? It's an immoral policy to have mandating the COVID vaccine. Did you hear that, YouTube? No, I'm sorry, you didn't. Yes, I'm relieved. But you know what I'm inspired by?
Yeah, because we're not walking on eggshells anymore,
yeah,
Terry.
Yeah, there you go. But you know what I'm impressed with? Bishops, governors, it seems like we're starting to have a little bit more unity in fighting the culture of death. And so I say amen to that. But before we get into this, Jess, the most important thing we do here at the Terry and Jesse Show is give you soul food from the gospel or the readings from Mass. Go ahead, Jess.
Terry, today I'd like to share the reading, the first reading.
Yeah, it says it all.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, with all these culture of death, radical Marxists, this is something that they need. They need to hear this. Yeah. We all need to hear this, but Bo Biden, Pelosi, I mean, the list goes on, John Kerry. They need to hear this, Terry. Romans chapter 2, verses 5 to 11.
Awesome.
Yeah. This is what God says through the pen of St. Paul to all of us. By your stubbornness and impenitent heart. By the way, an impenitent heart, this is the scariest thing. When the church says when a soul dies with final impenitence, what does that mean? That means the soul goes to hell.
Yep.
And a lot of these politicians are Catholics, and they're old, Terry.
Yep.
I hope they don't die in final impenitence because they will be lost forever. It says, to the people that are stubborn of heart and impenitent of heart, like right now, objectively speaking, fake Catholic Joe Biden and fake Catholic Nancy Pelosi. Okay. You are storing up wrath for yourself for the day of wrath and revelation of the just judgment of God, who will repay everyone according to his works. Eternal life to those who seek glory, honor, and immortality through perseverance in good works. Not in signing legislation to kill babies, by the way.
Exactly.
But wrath and fury to those who selfishly, my body, my choice, who selfishly disobey the truth and obey wickedness. Yes, affliction and distress will come upon every human being who does evil. Jews first, and then Greeks. By the way, Terry, some of the worst offenders right now in the culture of death, some of the earth movers, are fallen away Jews.
Most of them. I know. Yeah. I've noticed that, Jesse.
Yeah, that are involved in masonry, Hollywood, big tech, Wall Street. Mm-hmm. I mean, people that are doing the most horrible thing. And they're only 2% of the population. Yeah. It continues. But there will be glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good. Jew first, and then Greek. Look at this last sentence. It says everything. There is no partiality with God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So what does that mean? There's no partiality with God. Here's what it means.
Objective.
When you die.
Everything's objective.
And you stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
Nothing hidden.
Yeah, nothing's going to be hidden. And you say, oh, I'm Chuck Schumer.
Who cares?
Right? what? So? All I see in you is an unrepentant mortal sinner. I'm Nancy Pelosi. You got to let me in. I mean, come on, Lord. I'm a Speaker of the House. I'm Joe Biden. I've been there for 47 years. I've been a vice president and a president. And I'm a good old Catholic Democrat. Jesus is just going to look at their unrepentant mortal sin and say, I don't care who you are in earth. It means nothing here. That's what it means. That there's no partiality with God. Guess what? The person that dies next to you, that could be a homeless person in Skid Row, but dies in a state of grace, is going to walk the doors into the New Jerusalem as those that die with a stubborn and impenitent heart. Oh, no, but they were millionaires here on earth. You're not going to get in.
Nope.
You will be outside, and the trap door is going to open, and it's going to say, down. Terry, this first reading today is sobering.
Oh, yeah.
And I just don't know what baptized Catholic politicians, some of these millionaires, what don't they understand? Do they think they're going to live forever? It just boggles my mind, Terry.
I think what happens with politicians is they think that it's on who you know on this planet is how things get done. They don't realize that outside of time, when you're dead, the rules of engagement are different. The rules of engagement are what you see is what you get. And so our Lord is going to look at what you did, not who you knew. That's how I see it, Jess.
Oh, you're right, Terry, because the world of politics is who you know, not what you know. You're right about that.
Yeah.
And I guess they figure, when I die, I know a lot of important people.
Yeah.
Well, when you die, you're right. In a sense, it's who you know.
Yeah.
Do you know Jesus?
Amen. That's the key.
And I'm talking about the biblical know, which means intimacy. Yeah. Did you have intimacy with Christ? And did you serve him as your king? And did you try to promote the social kingship of Christ while you're on earth? Or did you try to pull up, just appease the party's agenda? Terry, all I could say is, the Blessed Virgin, it's the month of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Jesse, I'm going to bring the smartest guy into the room, and I looked hard to get this full scene ahead. This, Jess, I want your comments on, because Bishop Sheen was prophetic. This was 60-some years ago. He said this about politics and about a conflict. Prophetic. He says, the conflicts of the future will be between a God religion and a state religion. Between Christ and the Antichrist, but in a political disguise. Jesse, comment.
Right now, this is exactly what's happening right now.
Yeah.
And this is why Venerable Fulton Sheen will never be canonized under this body of U.S. bishops and under this Vatican Roman Curia.
He's exposing him, man.
When you start picking up like from 1930s, 47 and on, Venerable Fulton Sheen was already talking about the nexus between the Antichrist, the communists, and basically this apostate church, an apostate church. And Terry, the things that he said in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s are being lived out right now in the present moment.
Just read any book by Bishop Sheen and you'll see how prophetic this man was. And that's why we at Virgin Most Powerful Radio have him as part of our Well, part of our who we are at Virgin Most Powerful. I just want to say this just before we have a break. A lot of people are giving us donations to help us retool regarding the YouTube dropping.
Yeah, and we're going to go to every single platform out there. Rumble, Parler,
everything.
Gab, everything out there.
Yep.
We're going to you know why? Because those platforms, Terry, they don't censor Christians. YouTube hates Jesus, and YouTube hates the Catholic faith. That's the bottom line. And YouTube, I've just seen some people text me these commercials.
I saw those homosexual ones.
Very pro-homosexual commercials, which tells me, I know who runs YouTube, the LGBT cabal.
You know, wonder why when we had our Bishop Strickland show, when he talked on the Sixth Commandment, they scolded us. Said,
it makes
our
sense
listenership
now.
You know, is offended by you saying you can't commit adultery.
It all makes sense.
It does, Jess. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk about a very interesting topic. It's and when it really comes down to, again, the culture of death and the culture of life.
Yeah.
The lines are drawn. What side are you going to be on? Please, be on the side of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
As Joshua said, choose life.
Exactly. Hey, you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. In spite of all this, we're too blessed to be stressed.
Amen.
We're too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, we'd be billionaires. Stay with us here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Can anything surprise you any longer?
No.
Well, guess what? This doesn't surprise me anymore. The godless liberals want human composting, which is the ultimate denial of the soul.
That's right. That's the bottom line.
From the beginning of time, people have buried the dead.
Yep.
And sometimes people have even risked their lives to carry out this most basic duty. Because, like, in times of persecution, Catholic Christians, they would put themselves in great danger to recover the bodies of martyrs, you know, under the Roman empires, so that they might receive the holy rites of Christian burial. In fact, even in the Old Testament, there's a story of the elder Tobias in the book of Tobit, who, while exiled to Nineveh, he observed the Hebrew law by burying the Jewish dead against the wishes of a wicked king, Sennacherib. So even pagans like the Greeks, they even felt compelled to pay a final reverence to their deceased as well.
Yep.
And in fact, Sophocles in the play Antigone relates a story of a sister who defies the orders of the Greek tyrant Creon not to bury her brother, whom this Greek tyrant had defeated in battle. But Antigone, this female, she proclaims the right to bury her brother. She says it came from unwritten and unchanging laws. They're not just for today or yesterday, but exist forever. And no one knows where they first appeared. We call this natural law, by the way, what this Greek woman's trying to talk about. And as Catholics, we know that the body is sacred.
That's right.
And it must be treated with all due dignity and respect. And it's always been this way in Catholicism. No one needed to explain why the dead must be buried until our time, because natural law tells us.
Exactly.
Terry, but here's where...
Tell us about the bill, why this is being addressed in Washington State, Jess. Tell us about that.
Well, Terry, it's the Marxist left is now pushing for what they call, you know, recomposition, which is basically an eco-religious act.
Yeah.
It's all about the environment.
Denial.
Yes. So because the liberals, the Marxist left, the leftists have basically, they've denied human life.
That's right.
Human life is disposable through abortion, through euthanasia.
Kill it then.
So now the logical extension is that the human corpse, it fares no better. And so it's hard not to be shocked by a bill right now, before the Washington State Legislature, with a good chance of passing, by the way.
That's right.
The lawmakers are working towards allowing a new process called recomposition, by which human beings would be turned into compost.
Give me a break.
Human composting is not just a practical alternative to burial. It's an eco-religious act of the left.
I'm waiting for someone in our church to tell me that I have a moral obligation to do this. Are you kidding me, Jesse? Keep going. This is nonsense.
And so the leftist advocates, culture of death proponents, the sons of Satan, they openly promote it as an expression of social justice and ecological fervor.
Mm-hmm.
Because it fits into their pantheistic worldview, where everything is reduced to matter in constant transformation. And so the process of human composting consists, get this.
Check this out. This is
of putting shrouded, unembalmed human remains in a revolving cylinder with wood chips, alfalfa, and other organic matter to hasten decomposition. And so after a month, the body's reduced to about a cubic yard of nutrient-dense soil that can be used for planting trees to benefit the earth.
Who are we worshiping, Jess?
Yeah.
Jimmy, you know, this is Jesse, just to jump
the
in.
The eco-god.
Exactly, and this is why I'm upset in the sense that we are doing so much for the ecology and very little for the soul, because we are putting too much emphasis in this world rather than in the next, where our true home is.
And Terry, I'm going to tell you something.
Tell me, yes.
We're going to pay for it, because you cannot spurn God's natural law and God's divine positive law.
That's true.
And not bring and not reap a whirlwind, not reap the consequences.
Yeah.
Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. You cannot play with God, his natural law and divine law, and not, Terry, suffer the consequences. The article says, Terry, it's called an anti-metaphysical manifesto. Metaphysical means supernatural. Mm-hmm. In other words, it means what they're doing.
God, yep.
Yeah, anything against God. They don't believe in the supernatural.
That's
the body's
right.
Just natural, so we can make it compost.
Yeah.
So it says some practical-minded people will find little wrong with this process. They will claim that the useless corpse is put to good use by enriching the soil and preventing the release of earth-warming carbon dioxide. What difference does it make if the person's final resting place is at the base of a tree rather than laying in a grave? Indeed, it make no difference at all if there were no soul. The great accomplishment of the ecologists who created recomposition is not engineering the mechanical contraption that turns humans into compost. It is overturning those unwritten and unchanging laws, as the Greeks even understood.
Yep.
Embedded in human nature, by which people have sensed the need for reverencing the dead from time immemorial.
Yep.
And the seemingly harmless process of recomposition is like the proclamation of an anti-metaphysical manifesto that implicitly denies the existence of the soul. This is what this is all
That's
about.
Right. That's right.
The left doesn't believe that the person has a soul that lives forever. We're just, composite body parts that just basically melt down and vanish into nothingness when we die. So since they don't believe in the immortality of the soul, then the body's not sacred, because there will be no resurrection at the end of time for the leftists. But again, Terry, this is the fruits of following Darwinian
atheism to
its logical conclusion. Yeah. Terry?
And Jesse, I will add also
the
slippery slope. Once you deny a baby is a baby, that it's just a product of conception, has nothing, no rights, then you have euthanasia, killing the elderly, saying, look, I'm going to take this pill, or I'm going to get this shot. I'm checking out because, you know, I don't have a fulfilled life. And, you know, life is only what I see in front of me. And this is the attitude of the world right now. And, it's at odds with, because the church has great care in dealing with the dead. Just, we do 40 funerals a month here at the chapel. I meet a lot of families where, like yesterday, I'll tell you what happened. 32-year-old girl got killed in a drunken driving accident. The guy tried to take off. He got caught, and he's going to have to pay the price for killing that woman. You know, here's the point, though. All the family were devastated by that. And you see, life is fragile, but without any vision of a faith-based, you know what? then who cares? I mean, you know, you're dead. You're gone. There's
life,
nothing.
Life is meaningless.
Yes, it's meaningless. And I see that. And this is why we reach out to people here at the chapel. But I just want to make that point that when you lose the sacredness of life in the womb and then in the tomb, what else do you have except me, myself, and I? And this is a sad case right now. And this is where we're going. This is where we're at. I believe what you just said about in Washington State, they have the votes. And if that takes place there, you'll find more progressive, all right, liberal states that are going to say, yeah, we mean, we're godless. Who cares about the body after it's dead? It's nothing more than what do I do with the corn tusk? I throw them in the garbage disposal. Who cares? See, that's the reality. Then this is the alternative, our Catholic faith. The church takes great care in her treatment of the bodies of the baptized because she recognizes that the body is not just a shell or a husk, like I just said, that can be cast aside once the soul has been departed. For us Christians, burial is not the disposal of a thing. It is one aspect of caring for a person whose soul continues to exist and is in the hands of God. So, Jess, the church teaches that the body is sacred. Continue, Brother Jess.
Yeah, you just quoted Wisdom chapter 3, verse 1 in the last sentence he said.
Yep.
Yeah, the church teaches that the body is sacred because it's a temple of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20.
Yep.
And thus, the body's the instrument by which the Christian soul expressed itself in life. In other words, as St. Thomas Aquinas says, the soul acts through the body. So indeed, the body was once washed in the waters of baptism, anointed with the oils of salvation, and nourished by the Holy Eucharist. So the body was the means by which acts of charity and virtue were practiced. So it's not proper that this same body be treated with indifference and neglect. Because let's remember, there will be a resurrection of this body. Right. It will occur at the second coming of Christ.
Reuniting body and soul.
That's right. So the burial of the dead is linked to the belief in the resurrection of the body that we proclaim in the creeds and at Mass several times. At the end of time, there will be a reunification of the body and the soul. And Catholics believe that all men will be resurrected for the final judgment, the good and the damned. And that's why reverence and care rendered to the body, it comes from the honor and respect for the deceased person. We're not free to dispose the body of as it were trash or fertilizer, because the body that is buried belongs to the person who will one day be resurrected and will once again enjoy the possession of that same glorified body, please God. So the belief in the resurrection of the body is essential Catholic teaching, and to deny this truth is to reject Christ's resurrection and the need for the redemption. And our faith becomes meaningless without these dogmas, these revealed truths from heaven that address Christ's victory over death and the promise of life everlasting.
Yeah, see, I got a comment, and we're going to take a quick break and finish this up on the other side of the next break. But I want to just mention, someone's thinking, I get texts from people as we go on, what about cremation? What about cremating bodies? Well, let me just make sure you understand that the church teaches that you can only cremate a body if you don't come out and say that you deny the resurrection for the reasons we're just bringing this up. Personally, when I go, I'm going old-fashioned, 6 feet under.
Same,
okay?
Here.
That's just how I'm going to do it, because I also can see the slippery slope that with cremation, it's going to come right to this now. And so here's my point.
Yeah, it's going to feed the whole fertilizer industry.
Right,
Terry.
It is. That's how I see it. And so that's why I think we need to just go back to the old school stuff and say, you know what? Body and soul. Okay, I get it. Sacred. Give me my funeral. Give me my resting place where my relatives will come and pray. Think of this, Jess. Those people who use their fertilizer and their, where do they take the ashes into the ocean. Nobody sees that. Right, that tombstone. Nobody sees anything to pray for the dead. Do you realize these people are missing out on so many prayers from their loved ones that hopefully are in the belief of the eternal salvation of souls, that we can make a difference with our prayers? This is actually just going totally against what our Catholic faith teaches in such a powerful way, in the ultimate way. It's denying the resurrection. Really, I think that's what it bottom. They're denying anything supernatural. We come back, we'll continue to talk more about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and his bride, the church. You're listening again to The Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Stay with us.
Welcome back to The Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
I can't believe, again, what's happening in our in the state of Washington. They're actually thinking about something called recomposition. This is going to be a push towards cremation so that they can use the decomposed body after a month to fertilize the trees. This is what the leftists think about the human person. We're nothing but cells and molecules slamming together, you know, protoplasm. They don't believe in the immortality of the soul, and this is a logical extension of what the left would do because, again, they've bought into Darwinian atheism. The article says, another reason why the church buries the dead is the recognition that death does not terminate our relationship with the deceased. They are merely transformed. The dead are still part of the Christian community. Yeah, we call them, especially if they're in purgatory, we call them the holy souls in purgatory. So proper burial provides the framework whereby loved ones can fulfill their responsibilities to the dead. To pray for the dead is a spiritual act of mercy that is encouraged by burial and visits to their graves. Masses offered for the repose of souls are yet another way to show charity toward the deceased.
That's right.
And on their part, the poor souls in purgatory can also intercede on behalf of the living.
Amen.
But again, how different is this from our secular humanist, atheist people that want to push recomposition option that's now being debated in Washington? Implicit in this initiative is the modern secular notion of man as a being with no soul or no purpose in life. The body is a mere phase in the constant transformation of matter, according to the leftist atheist. So an individual has no real significance, history, or eternal destiny. And thus, a very famous atheist, Bertrand Russell, he said that he could claim that man's origin, his growth, his hopes and fears, his loves and his beliefs is the outcome of accidental collocations of atoms that no fire, no heroism, no intensity of thought and feeling can preserve an individual life beyond the grave. So today's ecologists draw ever more radical conclusions from the secular view that they get from atheism. They not only believe humans to be insignificant, but also harmful to the earth. Some denounce humanity as a virus that would best be wiped from the face of the earth.
Yeah.
They deplore civilization and yearn to live or die in harmony with nature. So indeed, should an eco-dictatorship ever be established over the earth, and I believe we have one right now in the Biden administration, the recomposition option might not be optional, but mandatory. Terry?
Jesse, I just can't believe. I mean, I hear also, you probably have heard how people are making jewelry out of their loved ones. They're taking tattoos and they're taking them off the body and then putting them up as a picture in their home. They've totally forgotten about the sacredness of the body. But you know, Jesse.
Yeah, here's what they do, Terry. They'll put the ashes from the cremation.
Yeah.
They'll take the ashes, take them to a tattoo parlor, and they'll put the ashes in their on their arm. Some guy that I met, I haven't seen him in 30 years. He goes, "Oh yeah, my son died, Jesse. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. He's not Catholic." I said, "Yeah, yeah. Well, tell me about it." He goes, "I'm not worried about it. He lives in my arm," and he had.
Are you got it, Josie? Jesse, are you serious?
I said, "What do you mean? What do you mean he lives in your?" He goes, "Oh yeah, I got the ashes. They dyed them black, and see this tattoo. These are the ashes from the cremation." I'm like, "Oh no, I can't believe this guy just did this." Terry, this is second humanist thought.
It is, Jesse.
This is the man with no faith.
Yeah, and Jesse, such dark, despairing ponderings are the backdrop of a spirit of our culture of unhappiness, depression out of control. It haunts the mocks to postmodern society. And let's be honest, only the Catholic Church has the proper response based as it is on the unwritten, unchanging laws that give meaning and purpose of life. People don't know the meaning and purpose of life. They'll do stupid things like this. And of course, the fact that many do not believe in the soul or an eternal destiny does not change the reality. Did you hear that? Just because you don't believe in gravity, jump off the 10-story building. You'll find out at the end that happens. And here's the fact about this, Jesse. We're at the first time in our culture, less than 50% of the people are even going to church. Okay? That's the first time in America that's happened. So, yes, of course, the fact that many don't believe in it, right, doesn't change it. The soul does exist. God did create and redeem humanity. And as Jesse was just saying, there will be a general resurrection and a last judgment to determine our eternal destiny to be found in heaven or in hell. See, that's the reality. Man is not an accidental collision of compost atoms, but made to be adopted sons of God and co-heirs to his kingdom. See, that's the message we as a church need to give to this secular world that is in such depression over COVID-19, over job, everything. Have our faith not in the government, you know, to take care of you. No, have your faith in Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. Get a close relationship with our Lord through the sacraments. Stay close to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. And you know what? Life will be good because I'll tell you why. Your faith is not in man. It's in God. That's what we need to do.
Terry, this entire movement, it comes from atheistic.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's why Vatican II, in the Catechism, paragraph 2123, it says that atheism is the most dangerous thing that we're facing within the third millennium.
Yep, spot
and
on.
By the way, that's why I wrote a book answering atheists. It's right here.
Get it on jesseromero.com, please.
Yes, yeah, just go to my website and get it. Don't go to any of the big stores.
No, that's why I say go to jesseromero.com. I don't want you to go to Amazon.
No. So it's called Atheism is the Opium of the Elites. Because they're always, Karl Marx says, religion is the opium of the masses, making fun of
us.
So I took a shot at, I took a shot at him. I said, atheism is the opium, I mean, the drug of the elites. And what I did here is I took the 50 most commonly asked questions of college kids, right from college professors, and I answered them using Catholic philosophy, Catholic natural law, Catholic divine revelation, science, medicine, and even common sense, because Terry and me are big on common sense.
Yep.
Terry, but there are nutty professors out there that push these crazy ideas. For example, the article says here that there's a professor named Todd May from Clemson University who wrote an article for the New York Times in which he asked if the extinction of the human race would be a tragedy.
Can you imagine this?
He said, no. He said, here's what he says. It may well be then that the extinction of humanity would make the world better off. And yet would be a tragedy. I don't want to say this for sure, Professor. See, this I don't want to say this for sure, since the issue is quite complex.
Yeah.
But it certainly seems a live possibility, and that by itself disturbs me. You know what, Professor Todd May? If you think there's too many people on the planet, then you know what? You're free to do whatever you want with your life. If you want to extinct yourself, go ahead, knock yourself out. But don't speak for the rest of us because we disagree with you. Terry, and I'll tell you, I'll tell you where this craziness, I'm going to make 2 points.
Go ahead.
I don't know. At Vatican II, they changed the teaching of the church, and they allowed for cremation.
Right.
Now, I've never said much about it, but I don't think it was a good pastoral move. Remember, Vatican II was a pastoral
council. Look at
the fruit of it. Yeah. There you go. The fruits are bearing, are horrible now that what we're seeing, where they're saying, hey, well, this cremated stuff, don't bury it in a cemetery.
Yeah.
But, you know, use it, you know, put some alfalfa and some bark on it, and let's put it under a tree and let's start growing the environment with this. So I don't think it was a good idea in that sense. And also, Terry, there is a movie that came out when we were young men in 1973. It was called Soylent Green.
I never heard of it.
Let me remind people of this movie, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, when I tell you, you're going to remember it because it was a talk back in the 70s. Everybody was talking about it.
Okay.
See, here's what happened. So it's, the book writes about 2022 next year. next year.
Yeah.
So what they're saying is that the church, the world is in a despair because the world is overpopulated.
Oh, yeah.
overcrowding. So all of a sudden in this New York factory, they start coming up with this solution to make a lot of food to feed everybody in the planet so nobody will starve because the planet is overpopulated by 2022, according to this movie. And so these big corporations, they make this this type of food called Soylent Green. Soylent Green. So everybody's saying, great, big corporations, they save the day. Yes, yes, there's food for everybody, Soylent Green. So this New York detective, he's investigating a murder in one of these, high-rise buildings, and in this investigation of this murder, he comes across some paperwork about the secret ingredient that's used to manufacture this food called Soylent Green, and what they're using, these big companies, they're using recomposted human beings' bodies to make food to feed the world.
Wow.
And so everybody thinks it's like natural fruits and vegetables and meat that we're eating that's put together in this thing called Soylent Greens. No, it was recomposted remains of human beings. So all I'm just saying is this whole thing to me, Terry, is setting the stage for that movie, Soylent Green, in 1973.
Yeah. Well, and there's other movies that say that also about 1984 and, you know, these. It's an amazing thing. That. Hey, Jess, I want to just remind everybody again that our call is for holiness, okay? Our call is to live in union with Jesus Christ. Let's put our emphasis on that so that when you die, you will have our Lord saying, "You good and serve."
Well, exactly. Servant. Well done.
Done. Well, yeah. So that's what we're looking for. And Jess, when we come back, I hate to have to even talk about this, but we do at least talk about what's happening about the unborn babies and how they're being sold, butchered. I mean, I could not watch the video because it angered me so much. But you know what? We need to set our
Terry on Judgment Day. Yeah. The angels are not going to call Joe Biden Sleepy Joe. They're going to call him Butcher Joe if he doesn't repent of these crimes.
I totally agree with you. You want to help us out with this new YouTube thing that we got taken off? We need to buy some equipment. Give us a call at 877-526-2151 or go to our secure website, vmpr.org. God love you. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Did you know that unelected President Joe Biden, him and the Democrat Party, they support the buying of butchered babies. Did you know that? Yep. The Biden administration has effectively ended the pro-life policies of President Donald Trump.
Yeah, he said he would do it.
Yep. And Biden's spokesperson, Jen Psaki, on Friday, she dismissed Catholic concerns over fetal tissue harvesting. She said, quote, "The White House respectfully disagrees with Catholic teaching."
Say that on your exit interview to Almighty God, Jesse. See how far you get with that one.
Oh, man.
Unbelievable.
So the pro-life community, we are disgusted with unelected Joe Biden, the way he's directed the Health and Human Services Department to remove President Trump's ban on fetal tissue harvesting. And Lauren Enriquez, deputy media strategist for Students for Life Action, she said that the Biden administration wants us to believe they care about children. Yeah, right.
Give me a break.
Who are in cages at the border. Ugh. They want us to believe they care about vulnerable people in our country.
Yeah.
The question I have is, if you do not care about children who are dismembered and being sold for their parts, do you care about the vulnerable at all? That's the question that she's asking.
Yes.
Good question.
Yep.
And Terry, Judicial Watch uncovered
good organization.
Oh,
I might
gosh,
add.
They have uncovered repulsive policies that the federal government conducts in the name of health, a component of the abortion pharmaceutical industry's economic model is for taxpayer money to spend $2,000 per baby.
Shocking.
So Lauren Enriquez, deputy media strategist for Students for Life, said, what this is motivated by is profit. We see that in the fact that Advanced Biosciences Resources is purchasing bodies from Planned Parenthood for $60, and they're selling them at a profit to the FDA, the federal government, with our tax dollars at a rate of $2,000 per baby part. Mm-hmm. And so the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, requests the specimens they buy be fresh, never frozen, and up to 24 weeks old. Terry, David DeLeiden was at, and Veritas, Project Veritas, these two young Catholic investigators have been right all along.
Yeah. And you know, Jesse, this is the exposure that it needs, because I think even people who are not necessarily are on fire about protecting unborn babies, but you've got to have, if you have any kind of conscience to see this, when I watch the videos and what they're doing with these babies, it made my stomach turn. So I think that, I hate to say it, but we need to get this out to people so they see what abortion is. Because most Americans and even pro-abortionists are against late-term abortions. When New York passed its radical late-term abortion law in 2019, 66% of likely voters and even 44% of so-called pro-choice were against the law. Jesse, what I see happening many times is like Proposition 8 in California for marriage between a man and a woman. The will of the people are not being listened to, and we have a few politicians who have the power to make decisions that are totally against the will of the people. And I think, I know, we have to rebel against that. We have to fight that. We have to say, no, we are not going to put up with this any longer.
Yep, we have to be the resistance movement.
We do.
Like the Bible says in Galatians chapter 2, I think verse 11, St. Paul says, when St. Peter was acting like a hypocrite, he says, I must resist him to his face.
Yep.
Resist him to his face. We must resist the culture of death to their face. Terry, what's sad is that roughly half of Catholic voters voted for the unelected Joe Biden. And if they had voted in line with the preeminent human rights issue, abortion, another 20 million votes would have gone to Donald Trump, who had already stopped this barbaric practice, but it's back again.
And Jesse, that right there, the statement you just mentioned, how many Catholics voted for Biden and with his position on abortion, tells me we have so much, we have low information Catholics who have bought into the world, the devil, and the flesh. Now, that's just me observing by their actions, because actions speak louder than words.
Well, that's why Virgin Most Powerful is so important. And that's why, again, because we're one of the small few voices of orthodoxy. There's not many of us. There's probably about a dozen of us that, you know, you want to get PC Catholicism. Well, you know, you'll get it from the, you know, the typical establishment communication system. You'll get politically correct Catholicism. But there's only about a dozen of us that'll go, not only, we're not only Orthodox, but we're not afraid to talk about the culture of death. And again, we're paying a price for it. So we're trying to get on every other platform outside of YouTube.
That's right.
Rumble, everything else, Parler, you know, Gab. We want to be on everything because we want to speak, Terry, to the people out there that want to get to heaven. Because we know there's a resistance movement out there, and we want to make sure that we're communicating to them messages that are going to inspire them to keep fighting the good fight of faith.
Jesse, I just had lunch with a priest from Chicago visiting Southern California, and he says, I can't believe, you know, whoever, they took you off the radio. We loved you guys in Chicago. I mean, we ran into two guys who were like ordinary guys who loved the faith but knew the faith. And he said, we need more of that. And then they took you off. And I said, well, you know, I guess our, you know, our style of just, you know, we do not go in long with what is socially or whatever the protocol is. We go with what truth says, nothing less than what is the truth about this. And then we preach it. And so this priest was upset. I said, Father, it's okay. We started Virgin Most Powerful. Tell your parishioners about us. And, you know, that's what we're doing. And that's why I asked for the support from our listeners, Jess, that they would help us. Hey, Jess, I don't want to forget that clip you have.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Mr. Engineer, we have a clip. Let's set it up. It's Pentecostal Benny Hinn says Catholics have more miracles. Wait till you hear what he says. Why? Let's play that clip.
They just released a study that more people are healed in a Catholic church than Pentecostal churches. No, it's a fact. That's an absolute fact. The studies have proven it. Because Catholic people revere the Eucharist. More people get healed in a Catholic church during communion than Pentecostals during church attendance or communion, because to us it's symbolic. Well, Jesus didn't say this is symbolic of my body. He said this is my body. He didn't say this is symbolic of my blood. He said this is my blood. And I believe, I always have believed, that in the spirit it is his body. In the spirit it's his blood. So you revere it. There's healing in communion. Absolutely. I've seen it happen in my own ministry. And there's healing in the Catholic churches because these people are devoted and show up every Sunday. They don't church hop. We hop. They don't. That's why we're sick and many of them are healed. Miraculous. I mean, powerful stuff going on in those churches, Catholic churches. People just miracles like you can't believe. Miracles are breaking out today in Coptic churches in Egypt for the same reasons. You ought to go on YouTube and look up Father Macari. He'll blow your head off in a good way. You'll see miracles you can't believe in his ministry. I met that amazing man, Macari. Just put the word Macari. MCC or MKK, it'll come out, whatever. There's not a whole lot of Macaris out there. You'll see the miracles. You'll see the people getting free from demons by the thousands. Muslims come into his meetings and he walks with his cross and chants in the Coptic language and sticks his cross on their heads and they get healed. Wow. Amazing. Because they believe, as I believe, you must be faithful to your church. It's all about the church. I think we miss that in our Pentecostal circles.
That's amazing, isn't it? Yes. I mean, here's this Pentecostal guy talking about, you know, Catholics' belief in the real presence of Christ. Now, here's the thing, Jesse. What blows me away, I looked at the people listening, and they have this stone look on their face like, huh?
Oh, they're not happy, Terry.
Huh? Huh?
These are hardcore Protestant Pentecostals. They are a TBN channel. Yeah. They are not happy with what he's saying. But you could tell, Terry, that God is still working on him.
Oh, yeah.
God ain't done with him yet. And you can tell that in some way, shape, or form, I mean, this guy may end up in the Catholic Church or in a Coptic Church, the Orthodox Church, because he's starting to realize that this John chapter 6 isn't symbolic.
Nope.
He's starting to realize that. And just like other people have, Terry, there's another famous Protestant pastor named Frank Chan.
Yeah, I remember Frank
Very famous
Chan,
Pentecostal.
The Oriental guy. Fantastic.
Came into, I don't know, the Catholic or the Orthodox Church. Yeah. Again,
because. An apostolic church.
Yeah, he said, no, this is Jesus. This isn't a symbol. Right. These guys have it right. The sacramental church have it right. Who else did the same thing? Hank Hanegraaff.
Right.
The former Bible answer man for like 25 years left Calvary Chapel. Boy, did he take gunfire. If you look at the internet, man, everybody's turned on him. And now he's in a Greek Orthodox church because of John chapter 6. So you're seeing, Terry, evangelicals like Frank Chan, Hank Hanegraaff, Benny Hinn is not far from there.
Oh.
Again, it's just a deeper dive into history. As the old saying goes, to be deep in history, to cease to be a Protestant.
That's right.
They're coming in the Catholic Church.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, here's the fact. The Protestants that come into the Catholic Church are the educated, well-formed, biblically formed, seminary-trained pastors.
Yeah.
The Catholics that leave our church are the low-information, lazy, never studied the faith, and they got turned on by a sermon at Victory Outreach. We lose, Terry, the bottom of the barrel, and we get from them the cream of the crop. That's
well, there's another example. Scott Hahn, Tim Staples, Jeff Cavins, where he's a revert. But one of the characteristics of all of these, Jess, is when they read the fathers of the church,
and they go
back and say, look, at this is what the Catholic Church teaches, and then you mean in the second century, first century, they teach it too? That's an issue I got to look into. Hey, Jess, we had a great show. Folks, I thank you for your support. Again, if you can help us with some equipment, and we're working on to basically have a response to YouTube kicking us off. We're no longer in jail. We're done. Yep. They will not let us back. And you know what's interesting?
No more censorship.
Yeah, they said in their letter to us, we don't have to give you a reason. Well, I don't either. I'll give you a reason, because you are anti-Catholic and you don't want the teachings of Christ and his church to be promoted.
Yep. And you're pro-LGBT.
And we're not. So I can understand why you don't want us. Hey, up next, today's Tuesday, Bishop Joseph Strickland Hour. I want you to hear what he has to say about pro-abortion politics and why they shouldn't be receiving Holy Communion, and why he says if Biden came into his diocese, what he would do is not give him Holy Communion. I love it. We need bishops like that, Jess. Hey, thanks again for joining us here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Get our free app by going to dmpr.org. God love you.